Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I love gardening, and it's going to be a great weekend. We have great weather possibilities. South Florida, you're going to be blessed with a lot of rain this week. Central Florida, North Florida, not so much. We're going to get a lot of winds, but it's just going to be a great week for gardening and wildflowers. And so I'd like to say good morning to our wonderful producer, Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. Trying to wake up.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about the Wildflower Festival. We've been promoting it all week, and we're so excited for today because today's a beautiful day.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Exactly.
Oh. And it's just free. It's free, free,
yes.
Free.
Yes.
And lots of great speakers.
Oh, yeah, and you're one of them.
Yeah.
What time are you going to be on?
11 o'clock.
Nice.
And so we have Dana Venrick. He's going to be on this morning to tell us about it and tell us what kind of plants are going to be available. So I'm very excited to get him. He's going to take a few minutes away from setting up at the festival to chat with us. And we have Gary Bachman in the second hour. So I am telling you, it's just going to be a wonderful day.
Yes.
Both gentlemen make me smile, and I learned so much from them. So
yes.
I'm very pleased.
Yes. Yeah. And also check out Gary's Instagram page, too. So, yeah, we'll talk more about whenever he's on. But, yeah, very interesting about tomatoes.
We are. And so the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festivals today, it's in beautiful downtown DeLand, Main Street, and it's free admission, plenty of free parking. So many things to do and enjoy. Bring the kids. I mean, just getting the kids out there to see all the different plants.
Yes.
And the smells and the taste.
Even if you aren't planning on buying anything.
Oh, you don't need to buy anything.
If you have a wagon.
Yeah.
Bring it. Just trust me on this.
Bring a little wagon.
Bring yourself a little camp chair. It's beautiful weather. And also the DeLand Outdoor Arts Festival is just a few minutes away.
They got a free shuttle.
Yes. So you've got best of both worlds today. So
it's going to be beautiful. So their native plants are going to be available. Native seeds. All kinds of wonderful information. The garden arts and crafts. I will tell you, the crafts, the furniture, just the garden art is beautiful. And then DeLand has delicious food. We've already got our restaurant we're going to go to selected. And then there's Pat and Tony's candy shop.
Okay, if you guys do not visit that candy store, then you're missing out. I'm just saying. You walk in, and I swear I feel like I get a cavity right when the door cracks, but it's a cavity that's worth it.
It's worth it. It's all the favorite candies back from the 1940s and 50s and 60s, and then also lots of great chocolate. So that's Pat and Tony's candy store. So really pleased about that. So what's the weather going to be like this week? North Florida, you've got partly clouds, partly shady, and part sun this week, which is really, really nice. No chance of rain. Temperatures are going to be in the low 80s. Still wear a hat and sunscreen, okay? Just even when it's in shade, you want to protect yourself. Irrigation, I think you're going to need it with those temperatures, two times this week, which is what you can water, but it's all the grass and the landscape needs. So two times this week, if no rain. Central Florida, that cold front's coming through. Not a lot of rain. We're going to see it just on the coast. But the cold front is going to bring a lot of wind. And so it's going to be very windy for this weekend, which is fine because the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival's today. So we don't want any rain.
Yes, exactly.
There. Maybe rain tonight. Rain if we're lucky tonight. We have more chance of rain Monday and next weekend. So you're going to, again, look for watering your lawn two times this week in Central Florida. Melbourne and the East Coast, you have all the rain this weekend and next weekend, too, as well. So you should not have to turn your irrigation systems on at all. Make sure you have a rain gauge because, you know what, it'll rain on right across the street from you and not rain at your house as much. So if you don't get half an inch of rain or an inch of rain for the whole week, then you do need to water. The landscape really needs it. We're in that drought period. Doesn't mean we need to rain or irrigate more. It just needs to, we need to irrigate on a consistent basis. South Florida, Miami, you're going to be in the highs in the 70s and low 80s. Your spring break is continuing on. People are going to enjoy it. You've got rain Sunday and Monday and then cloudy all week long. And then next weekend, you're going to have some rain too as well. So I would say, South Florida, you don't need to water at all this week. Save that money, save your water supply, and don't do it. So, because when we water, often we get a short root system. That's on your shrubs, your trees, your turf. Short root system is going to need to be watered more often. Okay, so just remember, all you need is an inch and a half of water a week, not 3, 4, 5 inches of water. And if you don't know how much water you're putting down, look at your, you know, water bill, your utility. How many gallons of water are you using a month outdoors? If you're using 10,000 gallons, whoa, you know, that's a lot of water and too much. You want to be between 5,000 and 7,500 gallons for a medium-sized lawn. Okay, so if your lawn is medium-sized, you've got a zero lot line, 5,000 to 7,500 outdoors, that is perfect. So again, the Florida Wildflower Festival, we're going to be talking about it. It's a celebration of native wildflowers, which is so wonderful. My talk is going to be Florida Pollinators Gone Wild.
Yes, and Simon wanted to know about what would go wild, what insects would go wild. So I'm going to have to report back to him, so it better be pretty good is all I'm saying.
So we're going to be speaking to Dana Venrick when we come back. We're so excited to have him on. He's the owner of Quality Green Specialist. He is a sponsor of the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival and the Better Lawns and Gardens Show. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And with us right now is Dana Venrick. He is the owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand and also sponsor of the Better Lawns and Gardens Show, which we really do appreciate. He is fantastic, a world of knowledge. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Well, I am all pumped up, you know, for the festival. This is going to be an incredible festival today. We have some really outstanding speakers, and I worked hard. We worked hard. A lot of the vendors worked really hard to get a great collection of plants because everybody needs some beautiful plants after the freezes we had. And so I scouted. I was out scouting and found some nice plants at this beautiful place called Miller's Landscaping Nursery, and I actually bought some. And it's, and she's a neighbor. The lady, Vicky, is a neighbor
of Lizzie's.
And she has turkeys as well.
Yes.
Can
yes.
you believe it?
Yes, and they have a beautiful selection of plants also.
That's great.
Yeah, and so I got some nice, beautiful plants, like some of the things that we lost, like the variegated Scheffler arborcola and some crotons. So I was really happy. I never knew they were there before. I was driving by, and I said, I can't believe there's a nursery here. And Vicky said they've been in business for years, so they are nice nice people.
That's wonderful. Sure. Now, am I right in saying this? This is the 20th year for the Florida Wildflower Festival?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, you know, because if you go to 2006, where Jeff Norsini, Dr. Norsini, gave
yes.
the first talk on wildflowers, so if you include 2006, this is the 21st year.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is great. It's always a lot of fun to go to. It has, you know, just wonderful, wonderful events happening. So tell us a little bit about what they're going to be able to find at the Florida Wildflower Festival.
Well, my gosh, there's going to be all kinds of potted wildflowers. For example, we have phlox, we have Rudbeckia, and some other wildflowers, and there's going to be seeds, like the Florida Wildflower Seeds Association Cooperative will have seeds for wildflowers, plants of all types, there's arts and crafts, and products, honey, some of the best honey that you'll ever find, even mangrove honey, like from the coast, but there'll be activities for the children. And there's a shuttle all day long going back and forth between the Athens Theater and the Earl Brown Park for the Arts Festival.
That's wonderful.
That's an incredible festival as well.
What kind of art? Is it paintings? What will they find at the outdoor art festival?
Paintings of the artists, that are very special of all types, all types of art.
And then also,
My sister actually had some of her art displayed recently.
Wonderful. Well, that's going to be a great opportunity for people to come by and pick up art. DeLand is just a wonderful little community, little town, and it has wonderful restaurants in it and candy stores. We're looking for that.
Absolutely. One of my favorites is Cook's, just north of the Stetson campus, and they have the greatest buffet you'll find anywhere. They even have, a chef that actually carves your roast beef, either rare or well done, or lamb. My favorite is a lamb or fish.
Oh, that'll be nice.
They have all types of wonderful dishes. It's just a wonderful place. And there's a great Colombian restaurant just north of there called Parva. And there's a Greek restaurant, Santorini. And so there's places like that are really special.
Now
I want to tell you about the great speakers we have too.
Okay, super.
Okay, I'm going to kick it off, gardening at home, and I'm going to talk about the sustainable way in the garden I had in the fourth grade, how I really got involved and how I got a passion for gardening and how I won blue ribbons at the fair in the fourth grade. That was a thrill. And then the second talk is going to be by Jim Norman, Thriller, Filler, and Spiller. And at first I didn't realize what it was, but then, oh yeah, filler, a thriller. I didn't realize plants were so thrilling. and then you're giving the great talk on Florida pollinators gone wild. That should be really a wild talk.
It will be fun. It will.
Yes. And then at 12 noon, the birds and the bees. This is really going to be an interesting day. These topics, they're really fascinating. Creating backyard habitats with native plants. I love it. Kristen Marshall Mattson, who's director of the Gillespie Museum, who has like thousands and thousands of different samples of rocks and sediments around the world.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an incredible museum, but I want to ask her about that. And then Nicholas Jay at 1 o'clock is going to talk about landscaping from the ground up. Kairos Outdoors and Landscaping. He also has honey. We sell some honey for him.
Oh, that's
some of
great.
The native mangrove honey and wildflower honey. And then at 2 o'clock, we have a special speaker, Dr. Jose Chaparro, who's the citrus professor up at the University of Florida, Gainesville. And he's going to talk about the processes, the breeding that they went through to develop disease-resistant trees, starting with the desert lime from Australia. They would isolate with PCR genetic testing the gene that imparted the resistance, and then they would select those that had the gene with good characteristics, good flavor, and quality of fruit.
So that's going to be a real
fascinating.
That is going to be a great talk to find out what fruits are going to be in the future, citrus mm-hmm. greening resistant. And so tell us where Chess Park is.
Well, Chess Park is just directly on the east side of the big domed courthouse,
mm-hmm.
which is really a beautiful historic courthouse that you should see. And there's also restrooms there. It's good to know. And it's a nice little alcove, with trees and a little fountain. And the courtyard is special in itself. And it's a nice setup for these demonstrations. Like at 10:30, there's going to be a talk by Sergio Rankin. He's with the Volusia County Environmental Management. His talk is Sustainability for Homeowners, Eco-Friendly Gardening. That's going to be great. 11:30, Green Infrastructure and Low Impact Development Principles by Dr. Jason Evans. He's the Executive Director of Institute of Water and Environmental Resilience,
Stetson
University, which is, by the way, Stetson is the oldest private university in the state of Florida. A lot of people don't know that.
It's got beautiful grounds. It's just a beautiful.
It is. And they have the beautiful, most beautiful facilities. It's amazing. And then at 12:30, there's going to be a talk on honeybee biology by Miranda Tressler, who's president of the Beekeepers of Volusia County.
So she'll be a great resource for anyone who wants to start growing or maintaining beehives. And
exactly. Beekeeping, scares a lot of people, but she'll tell you how you won't get stung.
Well, that'll be great. That's important. Yeah. So one, there is free parking and it's free admission.
Yes, indeed. You can park. There's lots of parking just north of Indiana where most of the vendors will be. Mm-hmm. And the Athens Theater where the talks will be at the corner of Florida Avenue and Indiana Avenue. But just north of there is Rich, and there's a lot of parking there on the north side of Rich between there and the Bank of America. And also there's some on the north side of the theater and some just south of parking lot there, just south of the vendors on Indiana Avenue.
So what I am very excited about as someone who is a gardener, and I love to buy plants and grow plants, this is going to be a one-stop shop where if you want to put in a wildflower meadow, there's going to be seeds for dry uplands. And then also if you have wet lakefront property, you can have wildflower seeds that will grow beautiful wildflowers down by the lake in the shoreline. So
absolutely.
I think this is, and then also the resources, the people that are going to be there, the vendors, they're all experienced and knowledgeable and can tell you exactly how to do whatever you'd like to do in your yard, creating wildflower meadows or
in my talk I'm going to bring it down to the home, what you can do to help make this a better world and to help conserve and make the world sustainable, how you can do, each of you do your own part to make a garden. Anybody can make a garden, even though it's even a small dish garden.
Exactly.
With herbs, you can help.
And
you can get good fertilizers that will help the whole system instead of, high ammonium and chlorine fertilizers.
Sure. But also, this is going to be a great opportunity for children. Get them outside, get them in the fresh air, have them run up and down the streets of DeLand.
Children love it because it's natural. It's a natural. I remember when I was young, I loved to go out in the yard and I would go visit the lilies, they were the God's fairies there.
Oh.
And that's why I joined 4-H right away in the fourth grade, and that was my project, gardening.
Well, that's great, because they'll be able to, there's going to be activities for the children too as well. So Dana, tell everybody what the address is, where the festival is going to be.
Okay, it's North Florida Avenue, just north of what you call US 44 or New York Avenue. It's like 120, it's like 120, 125 North Florida Avenue is where the theater is, and then it runs directly, Indiana Avenue goes directly east between the theater and Woodland Boulevard, which is US 1792.
Right, and so you're about an hour away from Ormond Beach, a half an hour from Daytona Beach, a half an hour from Orlando. So you're just smack dab in mm-hmm. the center. They're very easy to get to. It's going to be a beautiful day. I was holding, crossing my fingers. I thought we were going to have a little bit of rain today, but we are not. So it's coming tonight. So we are going to have a wonderful day. We need everyone to come out, and they can come out and see me. My Florida pollinator's gone wild at 11 o'clock. I'd love to see everyone. And
I'm looking forward to your talk at 11. That sounds really fascinating.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Dana. Tell everybody where Quality Green Specialist is and what the website is.
We're at 335 West Michigan Avenue. We're only 3.5 blocks directly west of the Stetson campus, and just northwest, just a little bit walking distance from downtown DeLand. So you can walk between here and downtown, and while you're here at the festival, you can go check out Stetson University. That's a great campus, as you mentioned, to
exactly.
walk through and see how beautiful it is.
And then they also can stop by Quality Green Specialist Nursery and stop
definitely,
by and see
we've
everything.
We've got the best stock ever. You have to come by and see it, see our orchids on the native trail, see our native plants, and see the flowers and the fruit, we have a lot of fruiting olive that have small fruit on them already.
That's wonderful. And then they can buy a tree and take it home with them and plant it for the Arbor Day, National Arbor Day, which is next month. So thank you very much, Dana. I'll see you soon. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to give me a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680 like Linda and Carol and Becky. So we're really excited to have them text us, and we'll get to those questions in just a minute. Let's go to Carol in Lakeland. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. Okay. So last week I asked you about moving a bottle brush tree, and we're halfway through the process. He put a circle around the tree and dug down the roots, and we've been watering it. And so there is a what he calls a tap root that's, you know, like over an inch in diameter, and he wants to leave that until we actually move it. He doesn't want to cut that yet.
Okay, so if it is on the side, if he's coming out 3 to 4 feet, and he's there's no such thing as a taproot, okay? So it's just a big root. It's just a mature bottle brush, and he needs to cut it, okay? And just cut the sides. Do not cut the roots at the bottom of the shrub, okay?
Right.
And he needs to cut that, you know, one-inch size root. Yes, it's not the taproot.
Okay.
Bottle brushes do not have taproots.
Okay. And so then we'll just keep
watering
it until we move it.
Right, exactly. So I would cut the bigger roots, okay, and that's what's going to send it into a little mini shock. So don't be worried if you see your leaves wilting. They're going to wilt a little bit. That's where why you're watering it. And but what that's going to do, it's going to stimulate the tree's you know, production of roots. It's going to send out more new roots so that when you do move it to the new hole, it's already going to have the new little roots started, and it'll adapt much easier.
Okay. Well, now we're on a roll. I've got some small Simpson stoppers that are like 5 or 6 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
I want to move. Is the same with them, or they're not quite as established?
No, it's the same thing. The root size will be dependent on how old the plant or shrub or tree is.
Okay.
You'll just come out about, you know, 2 feet. You know, if it's a 5 foot tall Simpson stopper, which is small because they get to be 30 feet tall, okay, then just cut, you know, come out about a foot and a half, 2 feet away, and just start digging all the way around it. Water them really well every day until you move it. And then the day you're moving it, you're going to have the other holes already dug. And then you just cut out the bottom. You dig it up and cut the bottom roots and move them.
Okay. And, you know, the Simpson stoppers put down or have a lot of suckers coming up, you know?
Yeah, they're a shrub. They're kind of like crepe myrtles, which puts up a lot of suckers.
Yeah. So can I just kind of round up some of those little ones?
No. Not if you're going to move them. You can cut them off.
Later.
Oh, later.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do that because that shrub or tree is going to absorb the herbicide. Okay, so you don't want to do that. But you can cut them out. Okay, or just clip the bottom of it, just like you do for a crepe myrtle.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome. That's wonderful. Your husband's doing everything correct. That's wonderful. Tell him to go ahead and just cut that root. Okay.
Thanks to your advice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Carol. Thank you. Yeah. So most shrubs and trees do not have tap roots. And so what they do is they have a massive expanse of roots that go out wide And, you know, most of, like, an oak tree doesn't have a tap root. The tree roots for an oak tree can go out 300 feet.
Yeah, so for those of us who do have always thought that that was like a taproot type, what does that even mean for those that don't know what that means? Or
so taproot,
what's the definition?
Taproot was like, it has just one center root that goes down really, really deep, and that holds the tree down.
Okay.
And it's more that it has a series. So every branch and limb that you see on a tree has a root attached, you know, that functions and feeds and you know, stimulates that branch and tree.
Okay.
So when you see a part of an oak tree that's died, it wasn't because of damage or broken through a windstorm or something like that. There's something going on with the root system that's causing that part of the tree to die. So tap roots are just as a root system. It's just a lot of roots together.
Right.
And then the older the shrub or tree is, the bigger the roots are.
Okay. I can see where. Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Thank
that's
you.
Right. So we have Becky in Lake Taquan, which is in Tallahassee area. She says, Teresa, you're great. Thank you. Thank you, Becky. Can you just call me every day? And just that's so good for my ego. So what frost blanket, she says, for trees do you think works best? I just got an avocado tree. And thank you, Becky, for texting
in. Well, first, thank you for planning ahead.
I know.
Okay?
It's really
thank
ahead because we're not going to have a freeze until probably the end of the year, November, first part of December. And so it's really good. So you want to look at the thickness of the frost blanket. So they come in ounces, the density, the heaviness of the blanket. So you're looking for a frost blanket that is 2.5 ounces per square yard. Okay, and so it'll be 2.5 ounces, 3 ounces, 4 ounces. And those are better than the ones that are only 1 ounce and 1.5 ounces. Okay, so you're just looking for a heavy-duty frost blanket. They're not expensive, and you can get them just for individual trees. You can get bags that go over a shrub or tree, a small tree, or you can buy it by the roll. And then what's good about it is that once winter's over, you just, you know, wash off, rinse off the frost blanket, dry it out, fold it up, and it's good to go for 7-8 years. So, yeah, you can go ahead and get them now. This is really good planning. Or you can wait until September or so, but definitely get a frost blanket. We're going to have a warm winter, but that warm winter this year, because of El Nino, warm and wet, the El Nino is we're still going to get experience freezes in those kind of years.
Yes,
it's just they're just not going to be as many or as harsh. So keep our fingers crossed. You know, it was very traumatic this year.
It really was. I thought last year was traumatic with like 4 weeks of 40 degree weather, you know, it didn't rise far up from 40.
No.
But no, we didn't really get freezes this last year per se. But this year, no, them 3-4 freezes that we had, it wiped me out.
It did. It did. So Linda in zone 8B, she says, let's see here. I understand normally May would be the time to apply. Oh, no, that's Linda. She's got two. Linda, it's good to hear from you. Thank you so much. Her first question is this a good time to start camellia and gardenia cuttings? And any good guidance? Okay, I'm going to tell you all about it, Linda, when I come back. You'll have your pen and paper ready, and we'll talk about cuttings and then also pre-emergence. We'll talk a little bit about that. If it's 1-888-455-2967, if you've got a gardening question, I'd love to hear from you. You can text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
And today's Top 5 celebrates Florida wildflowers. These are my top 5 favorite Florida wildflowers. Number 5, Coreopsis lanceata. This is also called tick seed. It is Florida's official state wildflower. It's known for its bright yellow flowers. It blooms from late spring to fall. Very easy to grow. It's a favorite among pollinators. Deer resistant, and you can plant seeds, so it's wonderful. Number four, Black-Eyed Susan, Rudbeckia hirta. This is a perennial that produces a daisy-like flower with bright yellow petals and a dark center. It attracts butterflies and thrives in various habitats, whether roadsides, sand hills, or wetlands. It's wonderful. Also, deer resistant. Number three, one of my favorites, is the White Star Rush, Rinx spora corallata. And this is a native Florida wildflower that thrives in wet, open areas, flatwoods, depressions, and ditches. It is characterized by star-like bracts, and it's white with green tips, and it is also deer-resistant. It's beautiful. Number two is a spiderwort, also known as Tradescantia. It is a very, very beautiful purplish-blue wildflower native to the Americas. It's characterized by green grass-like leaves and three-petaled flowers. It blooms daily when the flowers are opening. It will bloom for a day. It's just gorgeous. It is also deer resistant. And my number one favorite Florida wildflower is the blue violet, Viola sororia. And this is known for its purple flowers. The wildflowers found in most areas and is a key food source for various pollinators. It is susceptible to deer, but when you go up to North Carolina and you go up north and you see the beautiful violets, we grow them here too, and they're native here too. So the blue Florida violet is my favorite. Let's go to, Alan in Mount Verde. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I have to disagree with you a little bit on number two. I think spiderworts are the most underrated wildflower in Florida. You can eat the petals, and they have that little sweet pea down inside that you can eat. And I learned this a long time ago that our native Indians would survive off those. But I've told ladies this before, and they've actually taken the petals and use them for their little, you know, get-togethers of coffee and tea ladies, and they're absolutely beautiful. The pink and the deep royal blue and the yellow, they're an absolute, they're almost like a 4 o'clock, open, close, and they're, like you said, they're brilliant. And people don't notice them, but you go up down 75 around Ocala, they're all over the side of the road. You just want to go, I want to dig up all those and put them in my yard.
I agree. Wonderful. They are beautiful. That's wonderful. I'm so glad we don't disagree. So I'm glad you're on board.
Hey, a question for you. I have amaryllises, and I have them in 100-gallon tubs, and I've got 5 tubs. In the last several years, I've been attacked by the looper grasshopper.
Yes.
And I called my Lake County ag agent, and I talked to Matt about it, and we seem to think that they're coming from the soil. So if the eggs are in the soil and they stay there dormant throughout the year, here's my question for you, Ms. Teresa. If I, after blooming season, I leave mine in the ground all year long, frost hits them, never cover them, they always bounce back. I just treat them with a bone meal and some organic fertilizer, and they seem to do absolutely wonderful. But I want to dig these out. If I'm doing this continual problem with the looper grasshopper eggs in the soil every year, that's the only place they come out and devastate my amaryllises. When is a good time? Question number one, when's a good time to dig the blooms out? I just don't want to throw something else in there. And Matt had told me about soil sterilization to use the plastic. And I figured if I got them out, I don't know, midsummer, I wanted to have 2, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it took, the soil sterilized. And he'd mentioned like 140 degrees or so would probably kill everything in the soil with the clear plastic on the soil. My question, like I said, for you is when do I need to dig the amaryllises up and how to store them so they won't die on me through the next season?
Okay, so that's really good because amaryllis are really great at storage because up north they just dig them out of the ground and put them in the cellars all winter long and they don't have them in soil. So I would say as soon as they stop blooming, you can go ahead and dig them up. And what I would do is dig them up, wash them off, and then put them in a paper bag and just leave them in a box in a cool portion of your house on the patio somewhere. They're going to probably sprout anyway, but then go ahead and take care of your soil. Get rid of that soil. The lubber grasshoppers are in the soil, and you want to get...
Yeah, that's bothering me. It's just, I've tried everything I can think of, and
no.
Matt had said, unfortunately, most people don't realize this, that the only vulnerable stage is when they are, the nymphs really small, and they have to ingest. And he said, I didn't realize this. They have no natural predators.
They do not.
The toxins in their system, nobody will eat them because it's poisonous to birds and everything else. It's like, no wonder they're so prevalent. So,
exactly. Yeah, there's no predators. You got to catch them. And you know what? Everybody needs to start looking for them. I was going to talk about them today, and I'll do that in a bit.
I've already got them out, and I mean, they're so sensitive. They're on the grass, and they're a mass of black. And, I mean, you get 3-4 feet away from them, they sense you, and they're moving out of your direction. And it's like anything you try and treat them is like they're so evasive, even at that early stage. So,
yeah, no, they are. You have to do like the flamenco or the Mexican hat dance real quick and just smush them all. And I will tell you, Alan, you get points if you get them in the road with your car.
No, stop telling people that.
You can literally feel them crunch underneath the tires of your car.
It is a test that is a problem. If you haven't experienced it, there's two things. You're very lucky, or you're soon to have them because they seem to be everywhere. But Teresa, thank you. That I love the deer special. That was great, and I am a great fan of the spider wart. I mean, they are just cold, hot. Drought, they're a great zero escape plant, and they're absolutely beautiful. I look for them in the mornings, they open, and then they close down in the afternoon, and they open back up. They're beautiful.
They are. Thank you so much, Alan. I love your energy. Thank you so much for calling and listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And so, it's a great idea. Start looking for those leopard grasshoppers. They are hatching now. They will start to come out of the ground, and you just got to catch them when they're young. And you can spray them with 7 when they're young like that. But once they get to be, 2 inches, 2.5 inches, then the pesticides don't work anymore. And, literally, you can cut them in half, and they continue to keep walking. It's really... They're just the bane of my existence. I told you, I hate leopard grasshoppers. Okay, so let's go to Linda. She wanted to know what's a good time to start camellia and gardenia cuttings and guidance to do that. So Linda, you can do it any time that you have new growth. You want to take 6 to 8 inch long cuttings of green wood, the soft green wood that's flexible and bendable. You can go ahead and do that. And so now is a really good time when they're starting to set out new growth after their blooms for the winter. This is a great time to do it. Gardenias are the same way. You want to take 6 to 8 inches long cuttings that are flexible. You can just kind of twist them a little bit, and you can make cuttings of that. Cut them diagonally at the bottom and just below a node, and they will make great cuttings for you. So that's a great question. And then you wanted to know, you've had several lantana in the garden that the freeze hit hard, and they're just woody stems. There's no green wood. Are they dead or gone, or will they come back? I don't know, because you're up in Tallahassee in that zone 8B area. They may be dead. Okay, so I would just wait, cut them back to about 6 inches if they're, quite big. You can cut them back, see if you see new growth, and hopefully let me know if they do come back, okay? That's very important. So thank you for the text messages. 1-888-455-2967. We're going to have to take you in the second hour. I want to say thank you to Dana Venrick for coming on today and talking about the Florida Wildflower Festival is in its 21st year, and it's really exciting. It's going to be a great day, a beautiful day to be outside and bring the children free parking, free admission, and lots of great speakers starting at 9 o'clock. And so you want to get out there, and the crafts are beautiful. The garden art is gorgeous.
Yes.
And
Like I said, if you have a wagon, bring a wagon. I know you don't plan on spending a lot of money, but I'm telling you, you're going to walk away with some gems there, and bring yourself your own seating, because there's times that you just kind of want to sit down and just look, because the amount of stuff that they have, not just for sale, but just
to look at,
the atmosphere and the way it's set up. You can sit on like one piece of the street and you can see everything. So.
And it's wonderful. So we really do appreciate it. And then if you missed any of today's show, you can hear it on iHeart Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please go to our Facebook page and like us, Better Lawns and Gardens, and then share with a friend. More and more people need to hear. We're getting more and more new people coming to Florida. So let them know about Better Lawns and Gardens. And if your radio station doesn't carry it, let them know you want them to. if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
To you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.